Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here is Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst. So here we are again, different part of the calendar, Ray, but it's August, and we're talking about the Maple Leafs melting down and choking away a three-goal lead in the playoffs. Your reaction when you saw it all play out and how it ended?
Well, it was 3-0, and we were watching the game on a little bit of a delay, and I said to Cammy, man, this is almost doesn't look like a fair fight right now. It looks like Columbus can't even touch the puck. Mm-hmm. And then they scored, and I don't know, it didn't seem to really be of any threat, you know, to me, because I just don't, I'm like, how's Columbus going to score again? Well, I got a couple of buddies who are on this text chain, and then I start getting, because remember, I'm behind in the game, and I'm getting these text things. Are you kidding me? Screw this. Are you, like, they were sour. And I'm like, so of course I took a picture of the screen and I looked and I saw it was 3-3. And I'm like, I sent a picture. I'm like, hey guys, what's the problem? You're still up two goals. They're both Leaf fans. And man, they were sour. So then as we're watching it, I can't believe that there's not another, I think this is what gets me the most, is there's not another gear to them. Like they're up 3-1 and if they can find that next little, it's not even a full gear, a half a gear to just, like, just grind away at the game. Like, it doesn't have to be fancy anymore. Your skill only matters a little bit. Your skill helps you grind. But for them, it's like they don't seem as a team to be able to grind 5 or 7 minutes off the clock.
Well, we were talking about that with James, Ray. How come they can look mature and dominant the first half of the game? And then how come the maturity disappears? Can you come up with any type of reasoning for that? Or we were trying to figure out why they look like a mature team the first half of the game, a dominant team. And then it was just out the window, gone.
Because this is just my opinion. I don't know. But just watching, they're great front runners. Like, they are great front runners. When things are going well, man, it just feeds from guy to guy to guy. They're all making plays all over the place. And as soon as things go sideways a bit, it's like you can almost sense the plays don't happen, the passes don't happen, the chip and simple play to grind and hold the puck doesn't happen, yet they're more liable to do that when they're ahead.
That's an indictment.
No, but I mean, like, I remember being ahead in games and just like you just feel like you can do anything. And then when it gets tighter, like, you just, like, unless you've got it as a group, the game just disappears on you. And that's what I thought happened last night, is like, it just kind of disappeared on them. Like, all that confidence of being in front, once the game got tight again, disappeared. And so I'm watching and hearing Sheldon Keefe's comments after the game. You know, I didn't like the game at 1-0 or 2-0 or 3-0. Then call a timeout.
Yeah.
If you don't call a timeout and say, hey guys, like I can read the clock. We're up 2-0. This is not going to work like this. Like, remind them. Right. I mean, maybe you're saving it in case you really need it, you know, and maybe you can make that same point up and down the bench. But if you don't like it, man, you gotta step on some toes a little bit and see if you can get it the way that you're more comfortable as a coach, right? Because once it started, like, and then the game, like, Columbus was back. Like, they seemed faster again. They, even though they were behind, it was like they were playing in front. They had the confidence. They made the plays.
Yeah, I you know, my thought process after the game, watching Sheldon's frustration and his comments, does it resonate with the players? And what I mean by this is the way that he coaches. It seems like his style is, you know, hey, I'm progressive and I'm not buddy-buddy, but it's just, you know, some coaches are just very calm and relaxed behind the bench and just kind of lay it out there. Other coaches, as we see, guys like Torts and Babs, and maybe you could call them old school, but they're emotional, very emotional. It just doesn't seem to be in Sheldon's DNA, you know what I mean, the way he coaches this group. You wonder if he explodes, how would they react? Maybe he's sitting there saying, if I explode on these guys, they're going to go south. Or maybe it's because he does it so rarely or hasn't done it, maybe they would have a reaction. I keep thinking, like, you know, have we seen him or have we heard of him snapping behind closed doors?
Well, he's had some opportunities, wouldn't you say? I mean, last night there was David Ayers shows up out of nowhere, you lose. They went 0-3 in California, three of the five worst teams in the league. Like, if those weren't opportunities for him to blow a gasket and snap, when is it going to happen? You know, I don't know.
I remember him behind the bench getting heated.
Yeah, he'll get fiery
He's a fiery guy. Like, but I think he's a competitive guy. Don't get me wrong. That's not him being passive and a wet rag back there. It's just I think his coaching style may not include, you know, that type of yelling. I guess the yelling. I don't know. What do you call it? Like,
well,
you know,
okay, Noodles, but what about this? The style that the Leafs like and right. Sheldon likes and Dubas likes is a pretty skillful style of play.
Right.
And maybe they've got to find a way here, because this is their, like, it's certainly Sheldon's first kick at the can, but maybe they've got to find a way to sell to the players so they understand it, that we can still play with skill, but there's got to be a grind to the game. We can't, it can't be that easy for the other team to come out of their zone, to get up in the rush, to take momentum from us.
Right.
Like, it's like they don't have that gear, and I don't really know why, because they're certainly good enough, but they, like, you know, they certainly have the ability to skate and to it was Kevin Bieksa said yesterday on the intermission about defense is hard work and commitment.
Right.
And so that stretches, as we know, into the offensive zone too. If there isn't a play, you go back behind the net with it. But you don't just die the play. You continue to work. You make it hard. All of a sudden, Columbus is zipping out of their zone with tape-to-tape passes, and they look fast again. And that certainly wasn't there in the first half of the game. They couldn't string two passes together.
No, they saw an opportunity, and they just slowly decided, we'll keep waking up and keep waking up, and now we've got a real chance, and we'll take it. And that's what happened. And I think when you're breaking down games like this, and we all know we've done it countless times over the past 7 or 8 years, there are multiple facets that you can break down. You can break down the coach and how he reacted behind the bench, what his game plan was, usage of his bench, utilizing players in different minutes in different situations. You can talk about, I think, the skaters in general, defense, forwards, how they performed, how they looked. And eventually you get to the goalie. And we talked about the goaltender in the previous hour. Freddie Anderson, since he's got here, has been fairly consistent. And his numbers have been there. And he's, you know, he goes up and down. But, I mean, in terms of the end of the year, you look at him and you're like, those are good numbers. Like, they're pretty good. Not Vezina, but they're pretty good. And in the playoffs, I think he performed well. Like, he's performed really well in game one. Game two, he didn't have a ton of work, but when he did get challenged, he was right there.
Yeah, really.
And,
good.
You know, through the first 30 minutes last night, he was good. The goals you look at, you're like, they're tough goals. Like, there's no disputing it. But there's also no disputing he just cannot win a big game. Like, he can't win the big game. And it can change tonight, and it can change on Sunday. And that's the beauty of the sport and the beauty of the opportunity. But two game sevens, game six last year, game six against Washington the year before that, last night. Like, he's been in net for all of them. And he's the only guy on the ice 60 minutes. Like, he just cannot get that big stop. Or he can't just say, I'm not giving one up. Like, and it's unfair because it's all on him, but that's the nature of the position. And the great goalies have done it over time where they've said, I'm just going to win. Like, you spot me three, we're not losing. And when it gets to that point, that's highly frustrating, but I don't think you can fight it at this point. The facts are the facts. He hasn't been able to win a big game for this team.
I don't know which of the goals, like, I didn't love. Like, I don't know, Noodles, did you like the Jones goal? I mean, it's a perfect shot, but, and it's through a whole bunch of stuff, but I don't know, it seemed kind of low in the zone for me.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough angle for sure. But, you know, as we...
But can you look at that and go, that's okay?
I was fine with it just based on the time of the game. Like, there was so much going on. It was like a perfect... You know how we talk sometimes, you just got to tip a cap. It's like a perfect shot. I don't know if Jones, you know, meant to fire it there, or he's just trying to get it in down into the scrum. Like, to me, there was a lot of
bother. Oh, he's just hammering it. He's hammering it, right?
That's
he's
what
not
I mean.
Aiming that.
That's right. I just think that I didn't lay that at, you know, Freddie's feet from a, you know, like, but it's still, if you break it down from where it shot from and how, you know, we talked about the day before Matt Murray, and, you know, it's funny. You saw Bobrovsky give up a bad angle goal today, but it's fun. The goaltending community is all up in arms today because everyone was mad at Matt Murray for giving up that goal to Petrie. So Matt Murray did what you're supposed to do on those shots. It's called a save selection from that area. Okay, you're supposed to go down into a post integration, it's called. So Bobrovsky doesn't go down to a post integration. He gets beat. That stinky one, the first goal, a Beauvillier's goal between the five hole from on the goal line. And all the goalie you know, language online, everyone's like, see, if you don't go into that post integration, that's what happens. So it's kind of funny. I'm watching it. Getting back to Freddie, I thought it was a perfect shot by Jones. I didn't lay it at his feet, put it that way, that goal. I thought it was a seeing eye shot, I guess.
So the next one is the one-timer. The next one's a 2-on-1. The next one's a breakaway. And I guess I get your point, Brian. Like, to win, you got to make that one of those saves somehow.
Yep.
It's got to hit you in the head. It's got to hit you in the elbow,
right,
whatever it is. And they didn't happen. Like, it's almost like, you know, he needs one to maybe step through all this, but there has been plenty of chances. And they just, right, and they haven't won once.
Yeah, there's a monkey on his back now, right? Like, that's just it.
Right.
It's on the whole team, for obviously, as it should be. He's not the only guy on the ice. But when it gets down, he's the only guy that can single-handedly win. It's the only position in the sport that can do that.
Like, I can guarantee you the guy that's more confident than that tonight is going to be Merzlikins.
He should be.
That guy, but I mean, like, that's... Even when he's not the best guy, he thinks he's the best guy.
He's got an attitude. He's Lieutenant Dan. He literally has an attitude.
So, wow. I mean, like, who knows how he'll play tonight? I mean, it's his first start and all that. But when push comes to shove, shouldn't the Leafs have enough?
Yes.
I think they should. And the what I will say about last night, though, when it's 3-0 and they pull Korpisalo, like Tortorella pulls Korpisalo, he didn't give up on the game. Even though on my couch I gave up on the game, not that that matters, he didn't. Like, he still coached hard. Cam Atkinson played 30 minutes. Dubois played 29 minutes. I know there was an extra period, but those guys were well over 20 minutes. Like, how are they going to bounce back tonight? Who knows? But Torts was like, I'm not giving up on this game yet. And they found, in Columbus style, the way to do it. Now, can Toronto pick themselves up off the mat? Sure, why not? But they don't help themselves, man. They should be up 2-1. There's no way around that.
Yeah. You're up 3-0 in the playoffs, and you're not some new team on the block that's never been there before. You've been there. You know, this is your fourth year in the playoffs with this group. And you're up 3-0 against a team that has challenges scoring goals, too. Columbus is not the Tampa Bay Lightning, right? And they just found a way to throw that game away, and credit to Columbus for taking it at the same time. It is a two-way street. You know, Columbus could have mailed it in. They didn't. They said, we're still going. And that'll be interesting tonight. Let's say the Leafs are down 2-0 after one. What are they going to – are they just going to pack their bags and say it was fun in the bubble, or are they going to fight? I hope they'll fight, but I don't know that. You know, I don't know that based on their history.
You want a response. That's what you're hoping for, a response. That's what I would think.
Yeah. Well, the Islanders.
It would be greatly disappointing if they didn't, put it that way. I think they'll play well, like I do. But man, they put themselves in a spot here.
Yeah, they sure have. Anyway, enjoy it tonight. Enjoy the weekend. It's a full slate of sports. It doesn't get any better than this. And we'll break it all down Monday at 5:05.
Yeah, we got the PGA. We got the overtime going. Nashville scored in the last minute to stay alive against Arizona.
Yeah.
So there'll be lots to watch. And I'll be sitting, got my ass on my couch. I'll be there.
Get that groove going, buddy.
Oh, yeah. No, I can't do a haze thing. You seem to be in another level.
Yeah, my groove is just, it should be in the Louvre. Like, I should ship this thing to Paris. It should honestly knock the Mona Lisa out and just put my seat cushion right up there, right in the Louvre.
Are you full lie down, leg up on the coffee table?
I've got too many moves. I can't even. It's like the guy yesterday who wouldn't say what he puts on a steak. I can't tell you my exact movements on the couch. It's my own secrets. I've mastered them, and I couldn't
possibly. Oh, I'm right in the corner, man. I'm in the corner, both sides. Squeeze in there. That's my spot.
I'm everywhere. I'm moving around. I'm finding grooves. It all depends on the mood, the lighting. There's a science behind this. So anyway, all right, buddy. We'll do it Monday
boys,
at 5.
Later on.
There's Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. The showroom is open. They're taking all the necessary steps to provide a safe environment for every guest. Visit Maple Toyota right next to Wonderland or buy online at MapleToyota.com.